Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Showers are pushing through the triangle at this lunch hour. I'll show you when we could see new showers and storms begin to develop today, coming up.
And we now know the name of the man who was hit and killed on westbound I-40. The search is on for one of the drivers, though, involved in that tragedy.
Also, questions this noon about an American nurse and her daughter kidnapped in Haiti. The effort to bring them back to the U.S. unharmed.
Severe storms are possible later today. The radar is starting to light up. You're looking at a live picture right now down Salem Street in Apex. Still a little wet as we welcome you in this afternoon. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is already tracking rain moving through our area at this hour, including Raleigh. When you look outside, Kat, the skies look very ominous.
They do. The good news is we don't have anything severe on the radar right now. This is just a healthy rain for us. We really have seen a few pockets of heavier rain passing around Apex, but in Raleigh right now, you can see the rain coming down in Dix Park, 78 degrees. So the rain really helping to lower the temperature. And this is a really healthy rain if you have a garden that you need to get watered. It's not falling too heavy, but it's giving you a nice little soaking in many areas. Apex saw some of the heaviest rain earlier that also passed through West Cary. Durham saw some rain. Raleigh has seen the rain, but the showers are starting to fall apart as they push toward Johnston County. And I think by the time they get to Clayton, it'll just be a little bit of light rain left over, but maybe not enough to really soak your garden out there. If we take a look at the dual Doppler 5000 radar, that's really the main area of showers that we're tracking. We've seen a few tiny showers develop here and there, but we're going to continue to watch those showers pushing east. Still, we have the potential for thunderstorms to develop later today. It's a low in threat, a level 1 out of 5 risk for damaging wind gusts. This includes most of our viewing area, but we will see some weakening of the energy in the atmosphere now that we've had the showers push through the triangle. So without as much energy, that may at least limit our severe threat in the triangle. Still, we're going to watch for a few thunderstorms to pop up into the evening hours. These are going to be very sporadically placed on the radar. There's not any kind of front or any kind of organization to these storms, but there is a lot of wind shear in the atmosphere, and that's why we could see a stray strong storm. I've got good news for you, though. I'll let you know when we see a big humidity drop coming up.
Kat, thank you. Investigators are searching for the driver of a semi who hit a man crossing I-40 and kept driving. It happened just before 1 this morning on I-40 near Durham. The hit and run shut down westbound traffic under the NC-54 bridge for nearly 7 hours this morning, impacting thousands of drivers during the morning commute. WRAL's Eric Miller is live near where the crash happened with what he's learned from Durham police. Eric.
Renee, Durham police have now confirmed the name of the man who was hit and killed just behind me. This is that section of I-40 near the NC-54 exit. Durham police saying 44-year-old Benito Briones from Carrboro was hit and killed while trying to get help after running out of gas. You take a look at this video from the scene. This is all right after this happened early this morning. You can see the ground absolutely covered with evidence markers as Durham police investigate. They say this all started when Briones ran out of gas. He was coming back to his car, coming back from trying to get help, crossing I-40 on foot when he was hit first by an SUV, then by that tractor trailer. Briones died from his injuries right here at the scene. Now, the four people in that SUV, they were okay. They stayed at the scene, cooperated with police. But the driver of that tractor trailer, well, they just kept on going. And this afternoon, Durham police are still on the lookout trying to track that tractor trailer down. At this point, they've not released any description, any information on what that tractor trailer might look like. But they are asking anybody who might have been in this area, might have seen anything, might have heard anything, to please get in touch. Renee?
We hope they get some leads on this. Eric Miller, live along I-40 near Durham. Police in Lincolnton are looking for the driver of an SUV who they say intentionally ran into 6 migrants. This happened yesterday at a Walmart northwest of Charlotte. Security video shows the SUV circled in red as it enters the parking lot and then turns as if to park. Police say that's when the driver plowed into 6 migrant workers who were standing near a bus. The driver never stops to check on the people. All 6 victims were taken to hospitals with various injuries. Police say they did not suffer any life-threatening injuries.
The town manager in Apex is out. This comes after an emergency meeting on Friday. Katie Crosby had been at the helm for a little less than 2 years. WRL's Chelsea Donovan has the details of her resignation.
Katie Crosby came to the town of Apex in July of 2021 after about 3.5 years with the town of Toledo, Ohio. But after an emergency meeting on Friday, she is no longer with the town here. Crosby said in 2021 she would focus on issues involving growth, diversity within town staff, and community engagement following a report detailing deeply entrenched racial bias in the Apex Police Department. I'm told by a council member that the council accepted her resignation in a 4-1 vote. The reason she resigned is unknown. Council member Brett Gannett said in a statement, "I respect the council manager form of local government that we have in Apex. I did not support the council's action regarding manager Crosby, but was on the losing end of a 4-1 vote." Immediately following the vote, deputy town manager Sean Purvis was appointed to serve as interim town manager. And I've been in communication today with Katie Crosby, and she says she has no comment or nothing to add on her resignation. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Apex.
All right, people in Mount Olive are under a boil water advisory. Town officials say the break in a 12-inch line on NC-55 started a couple weeks ago and has been leaking 50,000 gallons a day. The town says its water lines were over 50 years old and are just outdated in some places. The town shut off the lines at 8 o'clock last night to fix a water main break and then turned the water back on at 6 this morning. The advisory will be in effect until sometime tomorrow.
Part of Fayetteville Street will be closed for the next several weeks because of a sewer improvement project. Raleigh Water closed the street between Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Leavister Court at 7 this morning. Officials say the road will be closed through at least September 1st. Detours are posted.
And happening right now in the WREL Life Center, former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago property manager, who was recently indicted, made his first court appearance today. We actually have video of that here for you. Carlos D. Oliveira was indicted by a grand jury last week alongside Trump for their alleged mishandling of classified documents. Today, he was informed of his rights as a criminal defendant, but did not enter a formal plea during the roughly 10-minute hearing in court. He will be arraigned on August 10th in Fort Pierce, Florida. He was released on a $100,000 bond pending trial. Now, Trump and his aide, Walt Nauta, the third co-defendant in this case, they have already pleaded not guilty after initially being indicted back in June.
Thanks, Michelle. An American nurse and her daughter have reportedly been kidnapped in Haiti. Alex Dorsonville was in the country working for a relief organization when she was taken, the nonprofit tells us. As Kristen Dahlgren explains, this comes as the State Department began evacuating embassy staff and warning Americans to stay out of the country amid growing unrest there.
This morning, American Alex Dorsonville and her young daughter Haven remain missing after reportedly being kidnapped near Haiti's capital, where she has lived for at least 3 years, according to the nonprofit El Roy.
My name is Alex. I'm a nurse from New Hampshire, but now I live in Haiti.
The 31-year-old nurse works for the faith-based organization that has a school and ministry in Haiti and is married to the organization's founder, Sandro Dorsonville.
Sandro invited me to come to the school to do some nursing for some of the kids. He said that was a big need that they had.
Elroy says Alex and her child were taken from their campus on Thursday, writing in a statement, "We continue to work with our partners and trusted relationships to secure their safe return." Details of how they were abducted remain unclear.
Alex was very compassionate and cared very much for people who had great need.
Alex attended Regis College in Massachusetts, whose president is not surprised her former student chose a path of service.
She was definitely a very special young woman.
The same day the mother and daughter were taken, the U.S. State Department issued its highest level travel advisory for Haiti, warning Americans not to visit, citing crime and civil unrest, adding kidnapping is widespread and victims regularly include U.S. citizens. The State Department also recalling non-emergency personnel from Haiti's U.S. embassy.
We have very deep concern for the situation there.
The United Nations estimates armed gangs control 80% of the nation's cities. Elroy says they are in close communication with Alex's family and are working hard to get them home.
That was Kristen Dahlgren reporting. Authorities say the capacity to provide emergency services to U.S. citizens in Haiti is very difficult.
Gas prices are rising quickly this summer. AAA released data this morning showing the average cost of gas nationwide, $3.76. That's up 16 cents in the last week. Here in North Carolina, we're below that. The average now $3.53, but that's up 15 cents in a week. It's also $3.53 in Raleigh, which is up 11 cents from this time last week.
A jackpot worth more than $1 billion is up for grabs tomorrow. The Mega Millions jackpot is now estimated to be $1.05 billion. The cash option is just under $528 million. If it is won, this would be the fourth largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. This comes just weeks after the Powerball reached more than $1 billion. You can watch the Mega Millions drawing tomorrow night right here on WRAL.
Next at noon, the man accused of the Gilgo Beach murders in New York has a court appearance this week. Now his wife is talking about what the rest of their family is dealing with.
Also, as we close out July, it's expected to go down as the hottest month ever on record. The warning from experts about the future.
And homeless students are struggling in school since the pandemic ended. Why educators say their learning gap is larger than others.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Give you this live look right now. Lake Gaston, some clouds hanging there. We've had some rain around our viewing area as you watch WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device. For the first time since a Manhattan architect was charged with killing three women more than a decade ago, his wife is now breaking her silence.
NBC's Stephanie Gosk reports. This comes ahead of Rex Huerman's court appearance this week.
Days after investigators wrapped up collecting evidence at Rex Huerman's home, his wife, Asa Ellerup, and her two adult children returned to a life they no longer recognize.
It's been a very tumultuous time for them. Life has been thrown upside down in the past few weeks.
The family of a Manhattan architect charged in the Gilgo Beach serial killings is now asking for privacy, writing in a statement that they have endured profound and indescribable catastrophe. Huerman's wife adding, "I am pleading with you all to give us space so that we may regain some normalcy in our neighborhood."
The streets were closed. You had to get access by police escort to get to your own home. The neighbors have been impacted just as much as she has.
Some neighbors are reaching out, sending care packages and grocery deliveries. One writing, "Dear neighbors, we are thinking of you through this difficult time. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know." Ellerup filed for divorce on July 19th, right after 59-year-old Huerman was arrested and charged with three counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of three women in their 20s, believed to have been sex workers over a decade ago. And he's now the main suspect in the disappearance and death of a fourth woman.
We have obtained a massive amount of material.
Following a nearly two-week search of the family home, investigators say it'll take time to analyze and catalog what they found, as police in other states are also looking into potential connections to other unsolved crimes, including in Las Vegas, Nevada, where Huerman had a timeshare, and in Atlantic City, New Jersey, for possible ties to the 2006 Eastbound Strangler case, while his estranged wife focuses on moving on with her life.
She needs to protect herself and her children at this point, not knowing what's going to happen with him.
Huerman remains a prime suspect in the killing of the fourth victim, North Carolina native Maureen Brainerd Barnes. He has yet to be charged in that case.
A man is hurt after a shooting at a Raleigh hotel. Officers responded to Wadford Drive shortly after 12:30 this morning. Our breaking news tracker was there and found the perimeter of the building blocked with crime scene tape. The man was taken to the hospital and is expected to survive his injuries. Police are investigating and say there is no further threat to the public. A shooting in Raleigh's Glenwood South neighborhood sent a man to the hospital. Police responded to Glenwood Avenue and Tucker Street around 1 a.m. Video from the WRL breaking news tracker shows the road blocked with several officers investigating that scene. The victim's condition is still unclear. No word on a suspect or the motive behind the shooting.
As July comes to a close, global experts say it's expected to be the hottest month on record. The temperatures in the first 3 weeks of July have already set high marks. As Greg Palcott reports, experts warn it's a trend that could continue unless world leaders make changes.
After devastating wildfires and record-breaking temperatures across the globe,
here you are.
Thank you.
scientists expect July to become the hottest month on record. And they warn the planet will only become warmer if human-related climate change continues.
It's being driven by concentrations of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, which continue to increase. And the three main greenhouse gases, carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, have all reached record observed highs.
Global experts say July is typically the hottest month of the year. Earth's temperature averages around 61 degrees Fahrenheit, but this year it hit 63. The hot weather had devastating effects on the environment and world economies. Dozens of people died after wildfires raged around the Mediterranean and sent thousands of tourists fleeing. While in Asia, massive heat waves sparked food and energy shortages.
Just waiting for that break to come. And it hasn't yet, so hopefully soon.
And in the U.S., temperatures in parts of the Southwest rose to 120 degrees at times, leading to heat-related deaths and causing life-threatening burns. U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres warns that we are in a period of, quote, global boiling, and urged world leaders to take action.
The air is unbreathable, the heat is unbearable, and the level of fossil fuel profits and climate inaction is unacceptable.
That was Greg Palkett reporting. Scientists predict 2023 or 2024 will end up being the hottest year on record. They also say that this will likely be the coolest summer that we will see from here on out for the rest of our lives. Mm. It just means it's going to get hotter and hotter from here on out.
Need change on the way. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine that after this month. Cat Campbell's in the WRO Severe Weather Center right now. We've got a level one risk for severe weather today, but we've had a hot July already, right?
We have. It's the seventh hottest on record in the Triangle at RDU Airport. So it's been hot for us so far. And of course, we still have to get through the month of August. Typically, July and August are the hottest months of the year. The only relief that we get this time of year is in the form of rain. And that is why we're reading a nice, comfortable July, 78 degrees out at RDU right now. It is mostly cloudy. The showers passing through already. The dew point still 73, so it's still quite humid outside, even though it's not hot. And as we look ahead into the afternoon, we are expected to see some scattered thunderstorms. We saw a little rain earlier, early on after 11 a.m., but we're expecting by the afternoon we'll see a few thunderstorms develop. Now, in the Triangle and for the areas that have already seen a nice little round of rain today, there's not going to be as much energy left in the atmosphere, so I think the risk would be a bit lower around here. But for the surrounding areas that really haven't seen much rain, the atmosphere is still plenty energized today for a few strong to severe storms. Now, the cold front already passed through the area. You can see this area of low pressure. This was our saving grace this weekend with bringing more clouds and holding back our temperatures. When we saw that on Friday, we lowered the highs and it made a big difference with the clouds. But now that front and that low pressure are going to be moving away from us. We have some upper level energy swinging through today, and that's why we could see a few of these strong to severe storms develop into the evening. As we get into the evening hours, we'll keep in the chance for a shower or storm through 10 o'clock tonight, but the better severe weather threat would start to die down after 8 p.m. around sunset. As we head into tomorrow, we're going to be focusing in on high pressure building, and this is the next notable system, and we'll still have enough energy around for a few storms, but it's a 30% chance tomorrow. And then by Wednesday, we really are under the influence of this high pressure system. It's far away from us, but the key here is that it has a clockwise flow around it. So we're going to see a northeast wind building in, and this is a drier wind for us, and that's also going to lower our temperatures a bit. So as we look ahead this week, high temperatures are in the upper 80s most afternoons. Once we get to the weekend, we're back up to the 90s again. So it's going to be temporary, but almost all week long, we should top out in the 80s. The best part is going to be this nice drop in humidity on the way this week. The muggy meter in the tolerable category, pretty good for July into August. It's about as good as we're going to get. It's extremely rare that we would get this low during the peak summer months, but tolerable, we're doing pretty good with dew points in the mid-60s, going up a little bit on Thursday back in the steamy category. And then as we look ahead to the weekend, it's likely to be quite humid again, but we'll take it while we can get it. Temperatures right now in the upper 70s with sunshine in the Triangle after those showers pass through, 86 degrees at the WRAL Fayetteville newsroom. It's a 30% chance of storms Tuesday and Thursday, some drier weather on Wednesday. But as we get into Friday, that's when our next system could move through that brings a better chance for rain. Jeff and Renee.
Thanks, Kat. Tonight at 5:30, toys, cookies, and appliances all recalled for potential dangers. Five on Your Side shows us the products you need to get rid of in our recall report. And there's a new trend among Gen Z employees. It focuses less on work and more on the finer things in life. After the break, we'll explain why lazy girl jobs, as they're called, aren't all that they're cracked up to be.
Plus, Barbie holds strong for a second consecutive week. How much the mega movie pulled in after the break. Barbenheimer keeps rolling at the box office, and Ford is recalling some F-150 pickups. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Ford is recalling almost 900,000 F-150 pickups due to a parking brake issue. The automaker says the parking brake could activate unexpectedly while the truck is being driven. Ford says it has received 299 claims regarding the issue. 19 of those happened while the vehicle was in motion. More than 870,000 of the F-150s from 2021 through 2023 are affected. Owners of the vehicles will receive a letter in mid-September. More recalls at Trader Joe's. The chain says its unexpected broccoli cheddar soup may contain something unexpected. Insects. The use-by dates on the items being recalled run from July 18th through September 15th. The recall comes a day after Trader Joe's announced some of its fully cooked falafel could contain rocks. That item was sold in 35 states, including Illinois, and has been removed from store shelves, and customers can receive a refund for either product. Another huge weekend at the box office for Barbenheimer. Barbie rang up a massive $93 million in ticket sales over the weekend to stay number one, and Oppenheimer had a solid second weekend as well. It took in $46.6 million at the box office. After 2 weeks, Barbie has pulled in $351 million in North America. Oppenheimer has earned $174 million. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
You don't have to quietly quit your job if you find yourself in a role that fits the latest online trend called lazy girl jobs. This trend being pushed on TikTok advises people to look for roles that are non-technical, low stress, mostly or completely remote, and paying between $60,000 to $80,000 a year. A big goal is to avoid anxiety and stress at work. Turns out, though, that remote work might not always be as chill as you think. One study showed remote workers saved on their commute an average of 72 minutes, but those same workers devote an extra 30 minutes of that time to work. So by the end of the week, you're giving your employer an extra 2.5 hours of work for the exact same pay.
DiGiorno's is testing new pizza kiosks that could deliver you on-the-go pizzas. The large vending machines like this one here have a commercial-grade oven and store frozen 10-inch thin-crust cheese and pepperoni thin-crust pizzas. They cook in 3 minutes. They cost $9. Future locations could include college campuses, home improvement stores, and sports venues. Right now, the pizza kiosks are only available at a Colorado Walmart and the company's Ohio campus. A late-night crash killed two teens and injured three others. What we have learned about the people involved.
Plus, as students prepare to return to school, one population is struggling from wider learning gaps than others. The steps school administrators say need to be enforced to help make up ground. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Investigators say alcohol was likely involved in a crash that killed two teens and injured three others. It happened on Shiloh Church Road near Dorothy Brooks Lane in Person County.
WRAL Shelley Jackson joins us live near the area where that crash happened with what she's learned. Shelley?
Well, Renee, Jeff, it is certainly a heavy day out here for this small, tight-knit community grieving the loss of those two teenagers. I did have a chance to talk to the property owner who owns this land. He said that the car came across the railroad tracks, crossed the middle of the road, came to the grass. You can see where there are the four brown tire marks. It then flew into this tree. You can see where it's shaved off the bark. There's part of the taillight stuck here, still in the trunk of the tree. Then from here, the car ping-ponged into the tree across. There's some flowers there at the bottom. ricocheted to the tree behind it, and then flew into the woods. You can see where all the trees and the bushes are matted down. We were told that the car landed there in a U shape. Now, two of those victims, the ones that died out here on scene, one of them had a brother who was in the car. He is in the hospital right now in surgery. I did have the chance to talk to the family's pastor. He said the family wanted folks to know that, of course, they're not ready to talk right now, but they want people to know that there is no animosity. As you had mentioned earlier, alcohol may have been involved in this accident. We also, when talking to the property owner, he said that this road, Shiloh Church Road, is very dangerous. Cars, especially large trucks, and we've seen it since we've been out here, come speeding around the corner. So they are also trying to look into the road and the dangerous conditions out here on the road. We're told that there will be a vigil later tonight. We're working to firm up those details for you, and we will let you know when we have that confirmed.
Terrible crash out there. Shelley Jackson live with the details from Person County this noon. Shelley, thank you.
We're working to get an update on the condition of an 8-year-old boy who was thrown from a car after a crash in Knightdale. The crash happened around 10:30 last night on Meadow Run off South Smithfield Road. A deputy from the Wake County Sheriff's Office tells WRAL the driver was speeding in a neighborhood when he crashed into a tree. No word on charges at this hour. The child is being treated at Wake Med. Tomorrow is August 1st, and that means communities across the country will recognize National Night Out. The annual campaign promotes police-community partnerships and neighborhood camaraderie. The event aims to enhance the relationship between local law enforcement and the communities they serve. As always, there will be block parties, cookouts, parades, and safety demonstrations across North Carolina.
A popular Chapel Hill deli, badly damaged by fire a week ago, is now serving up catering orders. The business is now filling those catering orders and event bookings at the Story venue about a block away on West Franklin Street. A GoFundMe for the deli's employees has raised more than $200,000. The owner of the Mediterranean Deli says he hopes to open fully in a temporary location in the coming weeks. This will be the last week on the job for the superintendent of Orange County Schools. In a letter on the district's website, Monique Felder announced she is parting ways with the district. She had been in that role for 4 years. Her last day will be Wednesday. The Board of Education has appointed Dr. Jim Merrill as interim superintendent. Merrill has served as superintendent in several school districts, including Wake County.
It's back to school season, but with many kids who are still trying to catch up on math and reading skills that they weren't able to master during the pandemic. Chris DeMeo explains why educators say some students may be suffering from larger learning gaps than others.
With back-to-school season almost around the corner, many students are still working to bridge learning gaps ushered in by the pandemic.
26 children trying to, listen to a teacher talk through a computer screen.
And while making up for lost reading and math skills can be difficult, advocates say it can be especially hard for students facing uncertain housing situations.
If it wasn't computer issues, it was literally just learning issues.
The sentiment rung true for Bridget Ibaru's daughter, Aaliyah, who by the time she started second grade, her family had moved 5 times in 4 years to find stable living accommodations. The constant moving, combined with difficulty adjusting to online classes during the pandemic, took a toll on Aaliyah's ability to learn. And at 8 years old, her mom says,
she did not know her alphabet.
Bridget was like many parents across the country who did not tell their child's school that they were living in a shelter. Homeless advocacy groups say the stigma surrounding housing insecurity keeps many people from talking about their situations. But without proper documentation about unhoused students, school officials say it's hard to make sure those who need extra help can get it.
Ultimately, we're supposed to be educating all these children, right? That cannot be done without taking care of some of these other services. We have to provide these wraparound services for our families and our children in order for them to be successful in school.
That was Chris DeMeo reporting. Some educators say a return to in-person learning after the pandemic let school officials better identify signs of homelessness in kids compared to virtual classes.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. A pilot is hurt after his plane crashed into the ocean on Myrtle Beach. You can see the banner plane there. Officials with the Myrtle Beach Police Department say the pilot was the only person on board and is out of that plane. A fire rescue is treating the pilot, but the extent of the person's injuries is not known right now. The Myrtle Beach Fire Department and Police Department are also on that scene, and the Coast Guard has been notified along with the FAA to determine how that plane crashed, why it crashed, and how to safely get that banner plane out of the ocean.
Michelle, thanks for that. The offices at Robinson Community College are extending their hours to help more students get ready for the fall semester. The school's Student Support Services offices will be open from 7:30 in the morning until 7 p.m. today through Thursday, and from 8 to 7, August 7th through the 10th, and then again the 14th through the 17th. This will give more opportunities for students to register and complete financial aid. Classes start August 14th. Australia walloped Canada 4-0 in a win in the Women's World Cup, moving on to the round of 16 and eliminating the reigning Olympic champions. We're less than 24 hours away from the final game of the group stage for the U.S. women in the World Cup. They need a win or a tie against Portugal to guarantee they will advance to the knockout stage. You can watch that game live on Fox 50 starting 3 a.m. tomorrow morning.
A medical miracle thanks to artificial intelligence. How AI could help those with paralysis move and feel again.
Plus, how Unique Camp is igniting interest in firefighting in young ladies. The skills they build in addition to putting out fires. Just days after his son suffered cardiac arrest on the basketball court, NBA legend LeBron James posted video of 18-year-old Bronny playing the piano. Got some skills, huh? Bronny played a brief melody in front of his family. He smiles and gets up without speaking in the video posted on his father's Instagram account. On Friday, the family was spotted out at an Italian restaurant in Santa Monica. Bronny was hospitalized Monday morning after suffering cardiac arrest during basketball practice at USC. He was released from the hospital on Thursday, but will continue to undergo tests to determine the cause of his cardiac arrest. The Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture is inviting you to celebrate the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. The museum in D.C. is offering free passes for its 2023 Hip-Hop Block Party. Those passes started today at noon. The event is happening Saturday, August 12th. It'll be a celebration of culture and music, and you can find those passes on the museum's website.
We now know who purchased the ring that Tupac Shakur wore during his final public appearance. Drake is now the owner of the gold, ruby, and diamond crown ring that sold at Sotheby's hip-hop auction. Sotheby's says the ring is the most valuable hip-hop item ever sold at auction. Tupac wore the ring at the MTV Video Music Awards on September 4th, 1996. Beyoncé is celebrating her tour with some new jewelry. The multi-platinum award-winning performer is collaborating with Tiffany & Company for a limited edition collection to honor the Renaissance Tour. The company says the collection combines its return to Tiffany designs with visual images from the tour. Items in the collection range from $275 to $700. All profits will go to the About Love Scholarship Program, which will award $2 million in scholarship funds to students at five historically black colleges and universities. That includes Bennett College here in North Carolina.
The next time you dive into a pool, you might want to reconsider whether you open your eyes underwater. Expert advice to help you prevent temporary vision damage.
Plus, one drink is all it takes. Another reason to cut back on your alcohol consumption.
As little as one alcoholic drink can raise your blood pressure. Researchers looked at data from seven studies conducted around the world between 1997 and 2021. The study found that even less than one drink a day produced a small rise in systolic pressure over an average of 5 years. It also found that small amounts of alcohol also raised the lower diastolic blood pressure reading, but only in men.
While the rise of artificial intelligence is generating a lot of buzz, medical researchers are showing how the technology can help one paralyzed man regain some of his mobility. Chris DeMeo shares the moment the patient experienced his first touch.
A diving accident 3 years ago broke Keith Thomas's neck, leaving the New Yorker paralyzed from the chest down, robbing him of much of his independence.
It has left him without the ability to move his arms and his hands, without the ability to walk.
But thanks to a revolutionary new study from Northwell Health, Thomas has regained some movement and sensation in one of his arms and hands. During a 15-hour operation back in March, surgeons implanted 5 microchips into Thomas's brain. After recovering, researchers connected the chips in Thomas's brain to a computer armed with artificial intelligence.
Our goal in this clinical study was to reconnect the brain electronically to the body and also the spinal cord to promote what we call plasticity. And the goal was to have lasting movements and sensations.
The AI technology is able to interpret Thomas's thoughts and translates them into movements and feelings.
We're basically using a computer to read Keith's thoughts and then translate that into a machine that then stimulates his hand so that he can move it. And it goes the other direction as well, where when he feels something, instead of it passing through the normal pathway through the spinal cord, it is going into a computer. So it's almost like fooling the nervous system to make it work.
And one of the first things Thomas felt since his accident was his sister's touch.
That was Chris DeMeo reporting. Thomas still has a long ways to go, but with a lot of practice, he's already increased the strength in his arms.
On hot summer days, most people love taking a dip in the swimming pool, but even though the water is usually clear with chlorine, doesn't mean you should be looking underwater. Chlorine is a pretty powerful disinfectant that can damage the outer layer cells that protect the cornea. The occasional glance should be okay, but extended eye opening underwater can cause damage. You can avoid eye issues with a simple piece of equipment.
I'm a huge fan of swimming goggles for a couple of reasons. Number one, you can protect the front surface of the eye. Number two, a lot of folks who are highly nearsighted or highly farsighted like to wear their contact lenses while they're swimming. And if chlorine soaks into those lenses, now you've got a reservoir of chlorine on the surface of the eye that's likely to do damage.
The most common issues include red, irritated eyes. You might also become sensitive to light. Most of the time, these symptoms are uncomfortable, but just temporary. And the goggles are fun. Just keep your eyes open all the time.
Yeah, Elsa is always wearing the swim goggles. She likes to see, you know, where she's going and exploring, right? The bottom of the pool.
It's cool stuff. It's a swim day, and it has been for a long time, this whole month of July. Kat Campbell's in the WRS Severe Weather Center, though. We do have some clouds and some rain out there.
We do, but this isn't the kind of rain that necessarily you'll have to leave the pool for long today. We're going to watch for some thunderstorms to pop up this afternoon. But right now, you know, those kids in that video look like they were having a blast at the pool. If you're thinking about heading to your neighborhood pool, you're in the clear to do so right now. We really have this one shower headed for northern Moore County, and that's about it. The showers that passed through the triangle already, those have cleared. So now the air is cooler, more comfortable feeling. It's a perfect time to go to the pool. And if you have a dog that you need to walk, now's the time to go ahead and get outside and take your dog for a walk. We did get a nice little dose of rain as those showers moved through late this morning. Through the lunch hour, we saw up to about a quarter of an inch of rainfall in a couple spots. For most, it was just a trace of rain, but enough to really help with your garden at least a little bit. By the afternoon hours, we're going to watch for a few thunderstorms to fire up. Temperatures should manage to recover today into the mid to upper 80s in the viewing area, really depending on whether or not you've seen the rain so far today. And then as we get into tonight, temperatures in the 70s, but by tomorrow morning, we're back in the 60s, making for a comfortable start. Let's check in on our summer temperatures. I wanted to point this out because we're running exactly to the T normal for temperatures so far this summer. We still have, of course, the entire month of August to go, but our average temperature has been 78.6. Of course, that accounts for highs and lows. Right on par for temperatures this summer, but we're running more than an inch below normal for rainfall, so we really could use some more rain, and any little bit that we could get would be beneficial. If you look at the rainfall outlook for the month of August, above normal rainfall is likely for the Tennessee Valley over along the mid-Atlantic states, including the Carolinas. So we are expecting to have a wetter than normal August,
also a warmer than normal August in the forecast. And unfortunately, you know, the Southwest areas that have seen the big heat this summer, they're still likely to see above normal temperatures for the upcoming month. I will say this, though, the normal highs begin to back off as we head into the month of August. It's not by much, but those of you who are a fan of fall, maybe this will carry you through the next month. The normal high has already started to fall for the year. Mid-July, it was 91. We're now at 90. Of course, not a big difference. But as we head through the month of August, our normal highs are in the upper 80s. And then we really see a more significant cooling typically during September. A live look over southeast Wake County right now from the Tall Tower Cam. It's a nice afternoon. We have a mix of sun and clouds. We should top out in the upper 80s today. And some spots. We may struggle to get there here in the Triangle based off of our midday rain, but I still think we've got a good shot for, say, Smithfield, Fayetteville, closer to the Sand Hills. And we'll keep an eye on the radar for you throughout the afternoon. It's more than likely that we wouldn't see any of those severe storms fire up until after about 3 o'clock. So you still have a little bit of time before you have to worry about storms. It's a 30% chance for Tuesday. Wednesday, not only does it look like the driest day this week, but the humidity really backing off. So go ahead and make some outdoor plans on Wednesday if you can, Jeff and Renee.
You have all these men and other people telling you you can't, or, you know, you're too small.
We'll take you to a special camp where girls are blazing the trail for the next generation of firefighters.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Investigators are searching for the driver of a semi who hit a man crossing I-40 and kept driving. Police say 44-year-old Benito Briones was trying to get help after running out of gas. He was hit first by an SUV. That driver stayed at the scene, then hit by a tractor trailer who left.
Apex needs a new town manager. Katie Crosby resigned Friday in an emergency town council meeting. The reason behind her resignation is not known. Crosby told us she had nothing to add about the resignation. She had been in the role for 2 years.
Mega Millions jackpot is now estimated to be worth more than $1 billion. The drawing is tomorrow, so that will likely grow even more. This would be tied for the fourth largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. You can watch the Mega Millions drawing tomorrow night right here on WRAL.
A fire department in Arizona is working to get more girls interested in a career in firefighting. Kathleen Hancock shows us the hands-on training the girls receive to prepare them for the future.
A test of physical and mental toughness. Young women between 12 and 18 years old participating in Aurora Fire Rescue's Camp Spark.
We want to be able to build a confidence level with them to know what's right and wrong and to make good choices in those environments.
The goal is to ignite interest in firefighting.
I wanted to learn more about, like, being a firefighter. I want to make sure that my passion is set in stone.
Or other male-dominated careers.
Right now, Aurora is about 8% women. So if we could increase that.
Within 3 days, these 40 girls gain confidence, leadership skills, and put out actual fires.
You have all these men and other people telling you you can't, or, you know, you're too small. But it's persevering through doubt and strength that you can and you will and you can do what you put your mind to.
Yeah.
And that's what every woman and young lady in this facility has shown me.
Grab that knot, at a girl.
Hoisting hoses, hammering sliders,
one, two, three.
And dragging dummies.
Surprising themselves with the strength that they show
during the same combat challenge that cadets do in the fire academy.
What is nice to see is to see the progression of that timidness to being able to step out, being more vocal.
Members of Aurora Fire Rescue volunteer their time to change lives.
I do it because I wish somebody would have done it for me. I wish I would have been more knowledgeable to know that I could step into the world of any type of field, whether it's male dominant or not, and be able to shine.
How cool is that? We did some checking, and there's also a Camp Spark in Greensboro. NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime on our WRAL News app.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.